Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Bluehost. Do you need a domain and a website and need it fast, like 5 minutes fast? Then Bluehost is what you need. With unlimited bandwidth, daily, weekly, and monthly backups done for you, and 5 email accounts, Bluehost is the best way to get started fast. If you need a website, you need Bluehost. And right now, if you sign up, you will get a free domain for 1 year. Go to hte.io/blue. That's hte.io/blue and sign up for Bluehost today.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a musician, author, and an entrepreneur. He's spent the past 21 years writing, creating, and building things to help musicians, authors, and creative entrepreneurs like himself use their talents to make a living and make a difference. He has created The Buzz Factor, Empowered Artist, Full-Time Author, and Improv St. Louis, as well as many, many other projects. He is also the author of Guerrilla Music Marketing Handbook, The Empowered Artist, DIY Career Manifesto, and nearly 24 other books. Now, let's hack Bob Baker. I'm going to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign sends personalized, targeted email automation. When was the last time you got an email from a company that looked like it was sent to a million people? And the first thing you do is you maybe open it or maybe don't even open it, but then you open it, look at it for 1 second, and you hit delete. That's what I do. Companies using marketing automation see 53% higher conversions than those using traditional email marketing. ActiveCampaign enables you to send intelligence-driven emails based on your customers' actions and behaviors. Treat your contacts as unique individuals rather than sending everyone the same message. With marketing automation, your campaigns can listen, learn, adapt, and respond, all based on your contacts' behaviors and their customer profile changes. It's a beautiful, easy-to-use platform, and there's no need to hire consultants because you can set it up yourself. See why thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing solution. Sign up for a free 14-day trial right now, no credit card needed. Visit activecampaign.com/hack. No training fees, no contracts. Pricing is absolutely accessible to any size business. Start marketing smarter today. Go to activecampaign.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Bob, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, John. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely my pleasure. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you for all sorts of reasons.
Nice. All right, let's jump into this. Bob, I know you are many things, but as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, like a lot of people, yeah, I could probably think of two or three things, but probably the first thing that popped into my mind is the fact that I think over the years I have been willing to take action on the ideas, like impulses that I have, which I think a lot of people sort of wait and they research and they educate themselves and they try to get everything lined up. I had this thing, I remember the phrase I actually used in one of my books, something like constructive impatience, I think was a term that I used, where I was this eager to get stuff out there. And I really don't know where this sort of quality came from, because like I was raised by my mom. She was a single mom. She was a great mother, but she wasn't particularly entrepreneurial. I don't remember entrepreneurial people in my life who inspired me to do this. It just seemed to be this innate desire that I had, that when I just like when I saw, especially when how I got into music and even writing and even pretty much any of the creative things that I do, often they were inspired by seeing somebody play or seeing somebody perform or do comedy or something, which is something else that I do. And I would go, wow, that looks like it would be fun to do. And how can I do that sooner or experience that or test it out sooner rather than later? And so I just had this compulsion to let's just throw it out there and it's just give it a whirl and see what happens. And sometimes those things pan out where I enjoy, you know, playing music or writing and they turn into something long term. And other times you will try things and go, you know what, that wasn't really all what I thought it would be. And I'm going to move on to something else now, you know. But I think it's ability to take action and not worry too much about how perfect it is to begin with. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I really like that. So let's go back if we can, because you're right. It doesn't typically like make sense going through it. So as a musician, as an artist, these are all creative things, literally the creation of something out of nothing, which to me is entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Whether you want to meld or like butt heads with art and commerce, but I like to meld the two if I can. But I want to go back because there seems to be this time, and it probably didn't make sense at the time, but now, where you either evolved sort of from direct art into direct commerce, or like what made you make that sort of transition? Because let's not talk necessarily just about the art, the music, but where was that transition where you were like, I can actually make a living doing these things rather than like all my friends who go have day jobs and then get on stage with me. I want to try and not have that day job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I get probably like a lot of entrepreneurs, I realized early on that I was never really quite very happy working for someone else. For some reason, I had this independent mindset or streak. And so it was a dissatisfaction. It was a combination, you know, like Tony Robbins and other people talk about the pain, you know, pain and pleasure being the two big human motivators. You know, you're either moving toward pleasure or away from pain. And so I guess I can apply that to this scenario in that, yeah, it was kind of painful for me to work for other people, have to make a living, you know, yeah, working for someone else. But I was really drawn to the thrill and the pleasure of working for myself. So I even remember, I mean, this is really weird. I don't know if you want me to go through childhood memories, but I remember, so I make a living as a writer and an author now. And I also have been involved in comedy and improv and stuff. But I remember a friend and I, like maybe in grade school or middle school, we actually created this little thing. We were influenced by Mad Magazine and we actually created this thing called the Weekly Comedian. I don't know if we actually put it out weekly, but it was like little like Mad Magazine kind of drawings and jokes. And we would, you know, whatever the mimeograph or the photocopying was at the time, and like sold it to the neighborhood kids for like 20 cents. So I guess I was monetizing my interest in creativity even at a pretty darn young age. And even though I was playing the guitar in middle school, I really didn't get serious and get an electric guitar until I was like 15. But I remember like 6 months after I started playing seriously, I played my first paid gig at a party, and like five of us split $35.
Wow.
So, I mean, so these are like early indications of, hey, I can make money from this. And that just stuck with me. Yeah, I just had this drive to, I'm going to figure out a way to make a living being who I am. And then eventually, and I think this progression that people go through, no matter what area of entrepreneurship, I think you initially do it for yourself, for like self-satisfaction and for recognition, ego, a little bit of an ego stroke, you know. But over the years, it shifts into how I realize that my art, my music, whatever it is, how it impacts other people. And so I started being more and more driven by how my books would impact people's lives and the music touches people. Now I'm writing more positive and uplifting music for that reason, you know. So I hope that answered your question, but
no,
it was an F.
It totally yeah. does. And it's like you did things that at the time, obviously, when like when you're selling things as a kid, you wouldn't have said, well, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But it was realization after like, well, I can just make my own money. That's which is entrepreneurship, right?
Exactly.
So
yeah, and you're right. A lot of people in general have issues with money, but creative people in general. Yeah. And I think many different fields are creative, whether people even realize it or not. But there is this weird relationship between art and money that people wrestle with. And it's a whole other topic unto itself. But luckily I sort of moved past that, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's essential to move past that, to obviously not have to go and work for somebody else's business. So Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's something that I'm a huge sort of, I think, proponent of just entrepreneurship as a creative endeavor,
mm-hmm.
because it is creation, right? And there's some part of you, of your soul, whatever you want, in everything, whether it's a piece of software or a book or a blog post or a podcast. There has to be some part of you in that, or else it won't connect with people, and therefore it is inherently creative.
Right, right. And I know years ago, so of the dozen books and ebooks and things that I've created over the years, only two of them were traditionally published. So you see this sort of DIY sort of thing that's running through my story. But one of the two books that was traditionally published, this company actually approached me to do a book on personal branding on the internet. This came out in 2001. It's called Branding Yourself Online. But how it relates to what you were saying was that I used to think of branding as this thing that corporations did, and it was logos and it was entities. But no, they wanted me to write a book on branding yourself as an individual. And that's key as an entrepreneur when you promote yourself. I think when you can connect with the person behind it and what they bring to it, it has a much deeper meaning to your eventual customers. You know, if they know the people or the person who's driving the whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So at the beginning, you said your one thing is this willingness to take action on your impulses. That's what's propelled you to where you are. Now, every expert on the internet in business talks about the 80-20 rule, Bob. So you're supposed to do 20% of the work and get 80% of the results. You're only supposed to do what you're good at. You're supposed to delegate the rest. Bob, can you tell me something in your business that you are absolutely not good at?
Yes. So yeah, I would say that, oh God, yeah. Like I'm financially responsible, and I keep track of big picture, like money stuff, like, you know, what's owed and what I have available to pay. And I'm responsible with, you know, that way, but I'm horrible at tracking my finances, you know, entering things in QuickBooks. I mean, that's all. I've tried that for like 2 weeks once. I'm just not very good at the tracking. And so, yeah, tax time is a real, you know, hell for me. to go through. And it's funny that you bring up the delegating, because another thing that it's interesting that I found that a lot of qualities that you take any quality, and there are probably positive and negative aspects to it. And so I'm, you know, as I've sort of implied here, I'm very much a DIY independent sort of, my self-reliance is a big value of mine. It's something that I preach to my and through my books and workshops and so on. And I live that too. I think success starts from within and then radiates out. And so the drawback, though, of this, and it has served me very, very well, not waiting for permission, not waiting for a book publisher, you know, just doing it, taking action, finding my own audience, blah, blah, blah. However, I'm such a DIY guy that, yeah, another issue I have is just the whole delegation thing and bringing, you know, building a team. That's something that I have struggled with. I'm pretty much this one-man operation, even after 20 or 25 years of being entrepreneurial. And so I need help there, John.
All right. So this is cool. This is cool. So you're aware of it as the sort of like a weakness within your entrepreneurial endeavors.
Correct.
Is it such a weakness that you feel you need to just figure out a way to do it, to see the growth that you want? Or do you not want the growth in that way, as in a quote unquote real business with like contractors or employees scaling and working around you?
Yeah. And I really wouldn't ever want to have an office with employee like that, because I did that during a period when I published a music newspaper locally in my hometown of St. Louis years ago. And so I did create this sort of work from home, work by yourself thing that was a vision of mine. So I've been successful. I kind of waffle on the other thing. There's times when I say, oh, if I had a team of people, just think, you know, if I'm able to impact this many people on my own, if I had a team in place who could help me multiply those efforts, just think, you know, the more that I could do. And there's times when I start to take those steps and then I hit roadblocks or just don't find the right people. And I go, well, you know what, maybe who says I have to do that? Maybe I am. It's something that I struggle with, and I go back and forth. Yeah. Feeling comfortable, but I guess I am. I was an only child. And I'm comfortable being by myself, but I do enjoy the social aspect of performance and, you know, parties and so on. I kind of need both of those things in my life. So but how to apply them to the team building thing is a conundrum. Although I have done that in the world of improv comedy. I teach and perform comedy and I do improv shows, you know, where I have to get a group of players together and I'm very organized in that. So there, it's funny, we can compartmentalize our lives. So I'm actually very good at delegating and leading a team in that area, but it's hard for me to apply it in some of my other business aspects of my life. Like, I think that's probably common for a lot of people, though.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is key. So we do compartmentalize aspects of our life. And so maybe the realization is that you just honestly do not want that for your business, which is 100% not even just okay, but it's like empowering and way better a direction for you as an entrepreneur to be confident in the direction you want to go. Not all businesses need to scale. Not all entrepreneurs need to create stuff around them. It's absolutely not necessary. It's just necessary to take the path that's right for you.
Right. Because for a while I used to use the term entrepreneur because I am entrepreneurial, but I've never had any interest in like the startup and venture capital and building this, you know, like, yeah, having a, like I said, an office and employees and all that. That does not appeal to me. I'd rather interact with people on a, you know, more social or a different way. So yeah, for me, yeah, having the home office, primarily one man operation, is my sweet spot. And so I think you've just helped me feel more comfortable about that. Thanks for the therapy session.
All right, Bob, we're going to move to projects. Projects is a very loose term. So whether it's a new book, a new course, a new workshop you want to run, I know at the very beginning, you said you have this constructive impatience, which I love, and the willingness to take action on an impulse. But I know just by speaking to you, I know because you are an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur and an artist, that there's no way you could take action on every single idea that comes to your head because it would just be overwhelming. And so at some point you need to decide which project is worth your time, energy, and resources and which ones aren't. I would love to know what your process is that you go through right now in your current position to know what the next project is that you should put your time, energy, and resources into.
Well, yeah, that is so true, because there was a period of my life and my 20s and 30s in particular where I had my hands in so many different things. I mean, I was publishing a local paper, playing in bands, acting in plays, doing stand-up comedy. I mean, it was nuts. And it was creatively enriching, but yeah, it was tough. I wasn't putting enough attention into any one thing for it to gain traction, in particular to be able to support me. And so there was a period where I said, what is that one thing? And I did decide, this was like 15 years ago or so, that the books and marketing, my music marketing advice in particular online, was the thing I was going to focus on. Everything else would kind of go, I wouldn't stop doing it, but it would be way in the background, part time. And that did pay off, because I was able to quit my day job over 12 years, the last day job that I had. And so that focus really, yeah, that was a conscious decision. Since then, in like the last few years, I have brought some things back. And so I limit it to four areas now: is writing and publishing books, playing and performing music part-time. I do some visual art, and then I teach and perform improv comedy. And so I've kind of settled on those four things. And so I don't really add anything new into the mix. It's just basically, what new projects can I do in each of those four areas, I guess, is a current state that I'm in. So four is still a lot. I guess I came to those conclusions based on the passion I had for them. And I do monetize all four of those areas. The books is the primary one, but I make a little bit of money even part-time in those other three. So I guess that's the way. It's a combination of passion, potential, and what's really going to be good for my, like, it's not going to drive me crazy.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that 12 years ago you had to make this decision and now you've brought these four aspects in. I think this ties back to the reason why you would never want a startup in an office, is because that would mean one sole specific focus only. And I don't think you're the type of person who could do that, which is the kind of person that I'm also the same. I don't think I could just have one sole focus. I need to be sort of have these different avenues. So I love that you have it. I was going to say compartmentalized, but we've already said that that's not a good thing earlier. So we're not going to go there. But right, you have the four things and you can take projects in
right
within that. So now you are putting projects within those four areas of your life and you're still starting new things. You want to write a new book or you want to create a new workshop. Now, as entrepreneurs, as human beings in general, right? One of our greatest struggles I see is that fear of being wrong, making a mistake and just failing. So you decide on a new project. It fits into one of your four categories. So that fits. You decide to put time, energy, and resources into this new project. And it seems like no matter how hard you push it, it just, the market doesn't want it. And it's completely different than what you expected. So could you, Bob, walk us through how to follow your gut through a project, have it come back, like all the metrics come back that it was, you were totally wrong, and how to sort of work yourself through that to be able to move on to the next project?
Yeah, so that, well, that one, that's a great question. So I guess that's another, yeah, as far as one of those things that we talked about earlier, you know, like keeping track of finances is not one of my strengths. Another one, even though I understand it, because I've been in the online world for, you know, 20 plus years, and I do practice many, many things. However, the whole measurement thing is something that I also sort of, maybe it ties in with the tracking my finances because it's numbers related or something. But I don't do, yeah, as great a job of tracking metrics. I do sort of have a good handle on my audience, but I have definitely created projects or resources in particular in the education, you know, in my books, workshops or whatever, where I thought that they would be, that it would be well received, and they weren't. And actually, I created this blog post some couple of years ago where it talks about needs versus wants. And I realized that they're quite often, and I've made this mistake too, and that's probably where I shot myself in the foot, was where I said, people really need to know this thing. And I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, people really need this new product, this new app or service or whatever. But what you really, the success or failure of a new thing like that is really determined by what people want and they're willing to pay for. That's a totally different thing. What you think they need to know may not be what they want and what they realize that they, what they realize that they need and that they're willing to pay for. And so yeah, every now and then I'll survey my audience or give them some different topics, ask them what, you know, what their biggest challenges are. That's kind of a common thing, I think, for business people. You're in the business of solving problems. But yeah, so where's that overlap between something I'm excited about teaching, but then also a need or a want in the marketplace, or at least with my ideal fans that support me already. And that's a tricky, yeah, that's a tricky thing to figure out. But if I could figure out what my fans want, I increase the chances of that they're going to go for this new thing that I created.
I love it. So, I love it.
So, yeah.
Excellent answer. All right, Bob, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Sure.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we are always projecting our successes into the future. So no matter from the outside how successful we look with what we are accomplishing to ourselves, we'll always be successful in 1 month when you sell this many books, or in 6 months when you get this deal, or in 1 year when you make that much money or stand on that stage. Yet we all know that right before you hit that goal, you're going to set five loftier ones into the future and just be like, well, but when I get there, that's when I'll be successful. And so sometimes we end up living in what I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, which is this place between where we want to be and where we are. And we perpetually never get out of there, because like walking towards the horizon, the further you walk, the further away it gets. So Bob, you've done a lot of things from the outside. I know that a lot of people will envy what you've created and this life that you've got to build and live on your terms. So I would like if you could look back the past 20 years, creating 12 years full time, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses. But if you could look back and tell me how you feel about everything you've accomplished up until today.
Oh, wow. That's pretty deep. very satisfying. Yeah. I mean, there's been ups and downs. And even after, like you said, I've been at this a long time. So I've been online since like 95. And so, you know, I hear about some of the current success stories. They say, well, I've been online since 2011. I'm going, really? You're just a baby. And so there's not a whole lot of role models that I have to look for, people that have been online and in the information publishing space, like, you know, that as long as I have. So I don't, so anyway, wow, it's a great, actually, I feel a great sense of pride. I mean, I really, the more, when I made that switch to focusing on how I serve people, when I look back and I, actually, I'm very blessed that not a week or barely a couple of days go by where somebody is either emailing me, leaving a comment on social media, or or coming up to me face to face and telling me how something that I did, whether you, quite often it's a book, but it could be some other thing that they were, you know, a music performance or an improv show. I mean, all of these, they enrich people's lives in different ways. And I've got decades now of doing that. And I've got people that have been following me for, 15, 20 years. I just feel like, a great sense of satisfaction. And yeah, you're always looking at the next horizon, but it's this balance between appreciating where you are right now and still having that desire, though, to improve and expand and reach even more people. It's a balancing act because, you can get depressed realizing you aren't as far as you'd like to be. And if you're too much focused on being satisfied now, then you're not going to have the impulse to continue to grow. So it's that balancing act. But I feel like I've left a legacy and I've impacted a lot of people. And that does feel good in the present moment.
Man, that's awesome. Beautiful answer. And it should feel really, really good. And I'm glad that you said it did. So, Bob, we've got to talk about your business sort of in passing, but could we now specifically tell the listener where they can find out more about your work and about you online?
Sure. So there's, I guess, the portal to all Bob things Bob Baker is just my name with a hyphen or a dash, whatever you want to call that little thing in the middle. So it's bob-baker.com, not Barker. He's the game show host. So bob-baker.com. And there you'll find links to all, I have sites on music marketing. I have a site for authors on book promotion. There's things there about my visual art, my music. And there's also one other site that I'm going to mention is one I came out with a book last year called The Empowered Artist. And there's a related podcast called The Creative Entrepreneur. I obviously like that word too. And there's also a free course that people can get called 30 Ways to Become an Empowered Artist. And it's for creative people of all types, musicians, writers, visual artists, performers, even if you're loosely, in a creative field, fashion, whatever, you'd really benefit from it. And you can find all that information and get access to that course at, think of the word empowered artist, the first three letters of empowered, empartist.com. So it's empartist.com to get all that information about the book, the podcast, the free course, and then bob-baker.com for all of the other stuff.
Excellent. And you are on Twitter at Mr. Buzz Factor?
Yeah, I've been using that term in a lot of my social media for many years. I randomly picked it years ago. So the Buzz Factor is my music marketing site. It relates to like bands or artists that people are talking about, the Buzz Factor. So I use Mr. Buzz Factor, MRBUZZ, FACTOR. And I actually think I registered the .com for that just in case people try to look me up that way too.
Excellent. So I will link to all of this in the show notes on hacktheentrepreneur.com. So when you are done working out, when you're done commuting, when you're done walking your dog, there'll be links to bob-baker.com, empartist.com, as well as at Mr. Buzz Factor on Twitter. And I'll track down an Amazon link to Bob as well, because he's published a ton of books that you should read.
Awesome.
So Bob, once again, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for sharing and being so open. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Oh, John, I appreciate that. It's been great talking to you. It's been my pleasure.
Bob, thank you so much for joining me today. That was a fun conversation. I really admire what you've built, the sort of do-it-yourself career or business that you've built around books and around helping other people and also focusing on your own creative outlets and art. It's inspiring, isn't it? It really is. It's cool to hear somebody completely, and you, like myself, are not in like San Diego or New York doing this. You're in St. Louis. That's cool. And not that there's anything wrong with St. Louis, but I mean, I'm from a small town, and it's cool that we can do these things now because of the internet. And I absolutely love that about you and the path you've chosen to take. And I hope that you out there listening got a lot out of it. And I hope that you maybe got a bit inspired to know that you can follow and do the things that you want to do creatively or in business. And you really just have to put the time and the energy and effort into it. And you can make it work no matter where you are. And that's pretty inspiring. So I always enjoy going through the conversation originally when I do it, but then going back is a whole different perspective on it again, and I get to kind of listen to it as a third person, a fly on a wall, if you will. And so I went back and listened to Bob and I's conversation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things I need to go back and listen to. So I went back and I listened, and I got it down to 4. Then I went back again, I got down to 3. Then I got it down to 2. And then I listened to it one more time. And there was this one thing that Bob said. It was about 40 seconds long or so. And it was so clear when I heard it this time. It was just so perfectly clear. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I had my hands in so many different things. I mean, I was publishing a local paper, playing in bands, acting in plays, doing stand-up comedy. I mean, it was just really, it was nuts. And I was, it was creatively enriching, but yeah, it was tough. I wasn't putting any enough attention into any one thing for it to gain traction, in particular to be able to support me. And so there was a period where I said, what is that one thing? And I did decide, this was like 15 years ago or so, that the books and marketing, my music marketing advice in particular online, was the thing I was going to focus on. Everything else would kind of go, I wouldn't stop doing it, but it would be way in the background, part time. And that did pay off because I was able to quit my day job over 12 years, the last day job that I had.
And that's the hack. Bob. I love this. This is something that all of us have to acknowledge at some point, but that's not true because not all of us create businesses like Bob. Bob's businesses are, I think I'm sort of a middle ground between someone like Bob who's creating it around his complete creativity and passions and things he wants to do, and then people who strictly build products and businesses like software and stuff. I kind of have my hand in both sort of worlds and I enjoy both of them. And I think that when you have that idea for software and you create some sort of piece of software and you put years and years of effort into it, you don't really have the time or the freedom to lose focus. You have to stay focused and continue building it. And that's cool. And I think we get that once we're in that. But when we're the kind of person who does a lot of things. So Bob is saying he was publishing, he was playing in bands, he was acting, he was doing stand-up, doing all these things that were creatively really helping him and really making him feel enriched creatively. But he still had to have a job, which then obviously detracted from his creativity and things he could do. And there was this time where he just had so many things going that he had to focus. He had to just think and decide what was the one thing he wanted to focus on. And he went into music marketing and books. And then he created the Guerrilla Music Marketing Handbook, which becomes sort of an underground bestseller for him and sent him on this path of now dozens of books later. And he's been doing this for 21 years. Because he chose that focus, right? And that focus is really essential when you are like that. And it's not that you can't ever be the person with a whole bunch of different projects going on. I think that that's necessary for some of us, but only to a point. And that's not something that I can determine for you. It's not something Bob could determine for you. It's something you have to determine for yourself. If you feel like maybe you've been doing it long enough, doing a whole bunch of different things, and you're not getting maybe the successes or the forward momentum that you want, then exactly what Bob did is what you need to do, which is focus on the one thing. If that time isn't right now for you, if it's in 3 months or 6 months, and you just feel like something's not quite right, think back to what Bob says or come back and listen to him, because it works. 21 years later, it's worked for him and it works for everyone. But I think it only works when we're ready for it. And some of us, because of our ADD or whatever you want to call it, we need lots of things going on. But at the same time, we have to be focused. I have other projects. I have projects that I'm starting on holidays next week for some reason. I think it's what I need to do. But still, I have Hack the Entrepreneur that is a focus. And that's like what I do. There's like a certain amount of just hours and hours of production that have to go into this every single week. And that's what I do. And then I just also do some other things for fun and on the side. But I have a business that's running and doing what it needs to do. And I'm focusing on growing it and taking it where it needs to go at the same time. So if you're in that place and you're stuck, find your focus. Otherwise, roll with it until it's time. All right, Bob. That was very, very cool. And I thank you so very much. All right. Make sure to stop by Hack the Entrepreneur and check out some new things. There's a Hack the Entrepreneur Top 10 happening over there. If you want to check out the top 10 interviews I've ever done, there's a certain page just on there. So go to Hack the Entrepreneur. You'll see it up on the menu, or you'll see it in the sidebar, Top 10, completely free. And it's all on one page. I think you'll dig it. If you haven't listened to all the episodes, it might be kind of cool to check out. So yeah, hacktheentrepreneur.com. Stop by and check out Bob Baker's show notes. Yeah, a link to his books on Amazon, a link to his website. And if you want, you can just go to bob-baker.com. All right, it's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really, truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.